You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 295. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we have a very brief episode, one day late. It's Tuesday. We're waiting for some repairs to probably a transporter or a tractor beam or something. But now it's Tuesday. It's been fixed, so we will continue onward. We have tournament results for 1E over the weekend in Tribbles. So why don't we just jump into that? You were hosting the event, and it looks like you did pretty well.
I did. And I guarantee you the secret was I borrowed somebody's deck online, and I ran out of time to actually tweak it to my own standards or whatever those may be, and thus did not have a chance to ruin it and actually did pretty well.
It looks like you added three quins, it says in your notes. Was that some of the only changes you made?
Yeah, I went through, I knew I wanted to play a KCA Regency 1 deck. I'd heard a lot of good things about it. I always play with the station, and so I was looking forward to just trying a pure staying away from Tarak Nor style deck. And so I found about three or four different versions and kind of looked at them all and was trying to decide which one to go with or like whether to combine them at all. But I really enjoyed this one. I liked the concept. And then I copied it. I made a handful of changes. I put it together and then I got to the end of the strategy notes. That was the other thing that was very helpful. Matt Zeno, Comdecker, had added some very helpful walkthrough notes. Since I hadn't played a lot of these cards yet, it was very nice to see how they all tied together and go, oh, all right. Okay. That's how that works. And then I got to the end and he's like, so after playing this, here are the differences between this deck and the one I posted in my strategy guide. And I was like, oh,
there you go.
Oh, that's why it's so thorough. So everybody's going to already know what I'm doing. But it was really too late. We had some schedule change locally. We've traditionally started around 3:30 because Thomas works the library till 3, and we want him to be able to participate. We want to get as many people as possible. But his schedule recently changed, so we're very excited to move it up to noon. And it was dazzling all day to be like, it's still sunlight out, and we're playing Tribbles. But that also meant that I didn't have that extra 3.5 hours in the morning to prep my deck. And just completely ran out of time to make any changes. I honestly don't know, having played it, that I would have made that many changes. Even while I was looking at it, I skimmed the skill list because for some reason a lot of people leave skill holes in their decks. I don't understand why. But it looked pretty solid as far as mission skills. There were a few holes, I was a little low on archaeology. So I threw one of those in, and I really wanted to make sure I could do the ore processing. So I threw in an extra geology. I think Burial was not in there, and he's amazing. So I was like, download any equipment. Why wouldn't you not play with him?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then, like I said, I threw in the three quins. And that was huge. Looking at the way the deck seems to pick up points pretty quickly, it seemed like a good idea. And I don't know, there's always some trick that somebody else is pulling that I'm like, oh, I wish I had a quin, or, could have played a quin here. And this deck being as small as it was, which is probably about, 60% the size of my normal deck, I was actually able to generally have them on hand when I needed them, including canceling Johnny's Wall of Ships in the first round, which I'm pretty sure was probably a game changer. He was playing TNG Fed, which was, of course, very quick, scientific diplomacy, and a lot of free reports, had a lot of people really quickly, and luckily, I was able to follow the instructions, get a historical coming together. Yeah. That's the objective. Into go attempt it as soon as you can, just to get one in your points pile, so that the dilemma hits disgraceful assault.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's basically a straight up damage dilemma. Only you have to have a side deck. So you get to flip twice if you have points, an objective in your points pile. So as soon as you get that right away, I was correct in assuming that he would be attacking host metaphasic shielding first. So I put my good combo there with the creature, the entity, spaceborne entity, and then the damage dilemma. So he luckily, it damaged him. He failed the pretty, two transporter skill in physics to get past even after the damage. So that stopped him and took out his first ship. That really wasn't a relief. That was only breathing room because, TNG is so fast. He, again, had people really quickly, but just was waiting to dig out a ship. That gave me time to try and really work away. He had Kobayashi Maru test on 5 missions.
Okay, yeah, I was seeing that in your notes, KMT. I couldn't figure out what KMT was. Yeah, Kobayashi Maru. Yeah, I got it.
So I went to the one where it wasn't, and I tried to mill through. And even that one was Horta Volcanic Eruption Spatial or Quantum Incursions. So, two people are dying while you're sitting there trying to get the right combo for Quantum Incursions. So I got the 5 points, but I lost pretty much my whole crew getting them. But he lost his whole crew. So it was like, all right, we're starting over. And now I know what's here. And you only got past, 2 dilemmas. So there's one more. And so I built a crew and I had almost everything I needed to get past Quantum Incursions. The deck was very smart. Apparently, that's a very big dilemma. Or, seed card off for obvious reasons. And so it planned to get around it, to have plenty of the skills. I had almost everything I needed. Johnny had pulled together a whole new crew. Hi, Caitlin. And he downloaded the Enterprise D with Admiral Riker.
Okay.
Which then was going to use Wall of Ships to get another Enterprise. Clearly he was going to double up attempting, and so I canceled the Wall of Ships to get the second Enterprise. His first Enterprise attempted, hit the cloud and failed, and was damaged and stopped until the next turn,
right?
With everyone on it. And I was looking at my mission, and I'm looking at his ship, and I'm looking at the Regency One with my Defiant Dedication plaque, and I'm counting the range, and I was like, yeah, that's about 23 range, and I have 12 range in 2 turns.
Wow.
So not only did I go through the wormhole and over and blow up a ship, but that was also the last dilemma under host metaphasic. He did not have any hidden agendas, so I then picked up the mission.
Wow, what a turnaround.
Yeah, so it was, especially looking around, I was like, well, where else can I go? I played another historical coming together on other missions, but I was like, do I really want to attempt these just to get 5 points and lose a guy? And so that was a pretty huge turn to basically not have to do any of the Kobayashi Maru missions and then steal his at pretty close to time for the time win. That was definitely not how a game against Johnny I felt was going to go, much less in the first round when I really wasn't entirely sure how my deck was going to work. So that kind of set the tone for the day. It was it felt nice to do well for the day. I had some interesting matchups. I was a little disappointed not to get to play Thomas because it sounded like he had a lot of shenanigans going on. And I know Charlie felt like he was not, I didn't get to play Charlie either. I didn't see what he was playing, but he had been working on a deck and then had to pull an already constructed deck together because he wasn't done yet. But I had fun playing JD. He was playing PNZ, All Space.
Wow, I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, here we go. And I'm like, I'm totally jonesing to come over with the Regency and sit at the neutral zone and you know, try to prevent his solving, but he just kept going. That my deck also had one Kobayashi Maru, and so I put it at his one headquarters mission, which was not a PNZ, and that he just kept getting bad luck draws, the one guy he needed to get through the dilemma there. But under there was a cryosatellite with a Kurlinoskos.
Wow.
Which he was going to use to come over, and on his scimitar that was sitting there floating, waiting. And yeah, there was a point at which he was attempting, because he was all in space, which was actually not that bad for me. I only had three planet dilemmas. So I was able to have a decent spread. And at one point I was like, well, he's got all these people on his ship and he's attempting that mission. He keeps getting stopped, but I could go over there and blow him up. But something, I was like, well, I'm just going to do my missions, because he can't possibly be that ill-equipped with his, you know, little TOS Romulan ship. He's got to have something else in store to be going into the neutral zone and expecting to not be opposed. And like a turn and a half later, he dropped the scimitar. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to stay over here until something else comes up. It's funny because he had made mention of wanting to take advantage of the lack of in the zone, because that deck is sort of run down by that. And then that ended up being, managed to finish two missions at the end as time was running down to get the full win. So it's really interesting. And by interesting, I mean, you know, a little frustrating, even though it was to my advantage at that point.
So he was expecting to do three missions, two 50-point missions and explore Typhon, and then maybe pick up 10 more points somewhere? Is that how he's getting to 140?
I think so. He must have had some kind of... I mean, there's a couple of...
And explain your presence for 5 points.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, the little 5-point interrupts for TNG. So, you know, you can turn the corner that way.
That's funny.
Still basically a three-mission win, so...
Yeah, you know, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with a three-mission win, even if it is all space, if you're going to go through that much effort.
Yep.
Now, I have a little problem. But still, if you're going to get to 140 points, yeah, that's what we set the barrier for, right? Wow.
That is.
All right.
And it wasn't even in the Delta Quadrant with the crazy, stupid skill people and the super easy missions. You know, he set himself a task, and I was sitting there looking at him going... you know, forgetting that I was playing KCA, because I'm used to playing Terran Empire when I play Mirror, mm-hmm. going, I'm totally going to steal one of these missions.
Oh, no, wait, I see his other plan. He's got a Jonathan Archer. He was going to make them all 60-point missions.
Yep, that's right.
Brilliant.
And he had something else that had an X on it, too, like a dilemma.
Very good. No, that looks fun. I was tempted to put this deck together a while back with mission specialists, because Romulans have a lot of mission specialists, and just keep
pulling
it over and over again with nanoprobes. Put it back on top of your deck, play it again. You know that
yep.
fun. But no, that looks good. I like. It's got a couple of androids, but a lot of non-aligned in here. All right, cool. Who was your third opponent?
My last opponent was Matt. He had what looked like a really fun deck. I could hear during my second round, him and Thomas had a semi-mirror match, both playing Dominion / Ferengi, which I was a little jealous because I played that right out the gate, and that was before they errated everything to make it, you know, make sense. It's like, oh, this is supposed to work like this, but it doesn't right now. And I got shut down in the middle of a tournament because of that, which was a bummer. But apparently it's much better now. And it all works the way it's supposed to. And they seem to have a really good time playing it, even though they doubled up. It sounded like both of Thomas's space missions got dual, but they both seeded, which is always rough. I believe they said nobody solved their own missions in that game.
Oh.
They both solved each other's.
I don't need that.
Yeah. It was a very refreshing day for me after the last few tournaments of not having a single duplicate mission, which was very nice.
How many missions how many missions did you have in the Alpha Quadrant? Any?
Two space missions in the Alpha Quadrant, okay. And then one in the Mirror Quadrant. Generally drew the good dilemmas, which was kind of the idea. I think, you know, they don't want me to have to get to stay in the Mirror Quadrant, so they put the good combo there, and then I, you know, go to the Alpha Quadrant and solve there.
Did you have an outpost in the Alpha Quadrant so you can beam back and forth?
I did not. There was only one outpost, and there was a lot of seed cards. Like I said, I didn't have a lot of chance to change anything. you know, that's something I might have considered. And also, I'm not terribly used to the new. I realized there were like three cards that had errata as I was leaving, and so I hurried up and printed them out, but I didn't get a chance to really read them. So I was like, okay, well, hopefully we don't have to hit this. And the big one that I'm used to is the multidimensional transporter device. And I know it's like limited to the matching location instead of region, and I think the use is limited per turn as well. But honestly, I never actually, it never came up. I never got a chance to use it. I was pretty much focused on the missions I had, doing planets first, getting the historical coming together points. The new processing ore is really interesting, getting the single points for the discard and getting the double draw if you have geology is very nice. And, you know, by the time I came into the Alpha Quadrant, I was ready to throw everything at my mission and solve, even though I got like, JD killed five people with explosive G-string compression.
Wow. Like, oh,
yes.
Nice.
He luckily was not running a battle bridge. Otherwise I would have been damaged as well. Still having nine people left. But yeah, that was a big one. And I'm assuming he probably had at least, you know, had two copies of that running around if you're going to run with all those universal missions.
Yeah. Why not? That's awesome.
Yeah. But, Matt had a really cool, really fast deck. He was clearly gunning to start capturing my people. So I was being a little cautious. He had the training ring out, and had Ferengi playing all over the place, which was really cool. I'm going to play this guy to the Tower of Commerce, except he's not. He's going to play over here, and he plays as a Dosi, so he plays for free. It was really cool, and he had a lot of people really fast. And then I guess one of the guys has all the skills for Franganar, so he didn't have to secure Homeworld, which was funny. Only he piled them all on his hidden fighter, Quark's Treasure, and then went through the wormhole from the Gamma Quadrant to the Alpha Quadrant and was like, well, I'm out of range, so I'll just be stopped. I'm like, okay, well, you're one mission away from me and I have a giant ship. You have a bunch of people there. I'm not going to not come blow you up. And I guess that was it for him. He had a really great setup, and I feel like he probably could have played a bunch of cards and come back. You know, Johnny made a really strong showing after losing his first ship full of people, but I guess Matt just didn't want to, so he scooped, and so I didn't really have to face any other dilemmas. But it was a really strong deck. The space dilemmas are really hardcore, and the planets are, you know, kind of make you want to go somewhere else. I might even consider a dilemma strategy that deliberately pushes you in that direction through a dead end under planet, so you have to go to space and hit the damaging dilemmas. But yeah, it was really strong. Like, the only thing I could see in there that I might consider taking out was probably the Dominion War efforts, which, you know, there was only like a couple of Cardassian mission special or support personnel, and you're already throttled by attentional hands.
Yeah.
Or guest quarters.
Yep.
No. General quarters. One of those cards. You know, downloading once per turn. You have a great downloader in, you know, getting leaders out from the reactor core card. There were a couple of interrupts, like going to the top and
Doctor.
A duck doctor, not a bricklayer, was great because he wanted to have the geology for processing ore. So there was, you know, very few times when I was like, oh, I really want multiple support personnel and I don't have a Klingon Cardassian ship out. So I have to get that ship out and then I can play the Cardassians and not have to discard my ASP. It was just like not a lot of cards for the play. I don't know if there was a specific one he wanted to make sure he had access to when he built it or what, but without knowing that, I don't know, I might consider taking that out in favor of, I don't know, some Mothership card.
Amarak.
Getting to see
that Greed and Cunning 8.
Yeah, that's true. But by the time you, I guess if you want to make sure you have that first, because by the time you hit it, it's already too late.
All right. Right on. That looks like a fun deck. I'm sorry I missed out. But six players is pretty good for, you know, local these days, right?
It was. It was very nice. We had six players. Unfortunately, it came down to the third round. We had agreed to play four rounds, and then the pairings just did not shake out. We could not manage to get...
Yeah, I was looking at the tournament results, and it's weird, because it looks like some people were paired up for the last round, but not everyone, and there were no results.
But, like, again, it's been a while since I've put tournaments in, and I think they changed the thing since I've done it last, so... I tried to save past it. I didn't know what to do when it was supposed to be four rounds and then it changed to three rounds. So I tried to not enter anything.
Yeah.
And it was like, you have no results. And like, I finally went back and changed it to a three round tournament and then saved it. And it was like, okay, fine.
Very good. Well, congratulations on the win then.
Thank you. I had fun. A++ would play again.
And it looks like you're two of your three opponents, I mean, came in second and third, so it's a pretty good day.
Yep.
Nice. All right, what is the next event coming up on the schedule?
Next event is in 2 weeks, which I think is the 13 plus 14 is 27th.
Yep.
We have 2E scheduled. The response has been
tepid?
Uninspiring. Tepid. Tepid is a great response. Johnny's not going to be there that week. He's already got plans. Thomas is 100% out for 2E. We only have two people signed up. I mean, it's no secret that I am not a huge into 2E. I agreed to do it just so we would have tournaments on the schedule, and I felt like we probably ought to switch off and I would show up to round out the numbers. But I sent out a message. I'm like, hey, look, there's two people registered and, you know, nobody seems terribly interested. If we're not going to have 2E, I'll switch it to 1E if that means people will come and play. Because, you know, I'm totally fine playing it 1E instead of 2E. But we should, you know, get some responses so we know what we're playing and what to build a deck for.
All right. Well, if we have an event, we'll talk about it here for sure. But there was a triples event after your 1E extravaganza, and I'm looking at the results, and you did not do as well.
I did not. I built a new deck in Lackey, and then I got home and went to make it in real life and discovered I did not have enough copies of the cards I needed. And so I just ran with, I just grabbed a deck at random and I chose poorly. That's not bad. That's not true. I had a really solid showing. I was ready to go out a couple of times. I had seven Fizbins in my pile by the end and I just couldn't quite squeeze it out, which is too bad because it was actually a fun, really close game the whole time. Not really, I think... the most anyone went out for was 300,000, and that was at the very end. It was really close the whole time. I had 100,000 and then 200,000 and another 100,000. So, mostly from different people. So it was really close and everybody had a good time. Everybody felt like they were in it. I was in last and I felt like I was in it the whole time. So I feel like I speak for everyone when I say everybody was in it the whole game and we had a good time. Matt just squeaked out the win at the end. He went out in the last round and was counting the whole time because he was not entirely sure if he had enough. He's like, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna go out. He was like, I'm pretty sure I've got enough. let's go ahead and call it. But it was fun. It was a quick game too. We were done in half an hour.
Wow.
And,
nice.
Yeah, it was amazing. We it was 6:15 and we were leaving Arby's for the day. It's kind of amazing.
That is
after leaving.
Good. Wow. That's,
when we,
I wouldn't know what to do because I would want to eat dinner and then eat lunch and then eat. And
yeah.
Eat. Well, that's tough. You were closing in on 100,000 triples. You only got 6 million to go. Less than 6 million to go.
Yeah. I noticed that when I signed up for the next one. I was like, that's. You know, there's people have broken it already. I'm not really too worried about it, but it would be nice to break that. It'd be fun. That certain people have caused there to be no more triples achievements. But so there's not really any landmark for hitting 100,000, but it is a nice big round number.
Yeah, there should be. I've got this score sheet here that says you got 431,000 to be added to that total as soon as I figure out how to add this from the boat.
Yes.
And I got to post it because I got that deck. I had a good time with that. I was playing kind of Fizbin Light. It wasn't battle. It was just kind of just a Fizbin and go out, and I had a good time with it. Just because
nice.
I always felt like I was about to go out pretty much the whole tournament. Anyway, I will see what I can do. That's on my list of things to do to get posted in the next few days. So I think that's it. Not much else to talk about. Did you have anything else you want to cover?
Nope. We have not received any spoilery transmissions since last week, and we have an albatross hanging around your neck in the form of the animated series.
The episode called The Albatross?
Yes.
Yes, well, I will watch it so that we have something to talk about next Monday. How's that?
That sounds good. All right, well, in that case, we're wrapped up this week. If you had a tournament and would like to discuss it or would like to tell us about it, yes, please tell us. And we can talk about it here. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will try it.
You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31.